Well, we will be in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 11 and 12. The end of 11 and the beginning of chapter 12. This is the next to the last sermon on the book. So I'm a little bit sad that it'll be over soon, but we'll be moving on and always excited to get to the next text of Scripture. So we will be talking this morning about life. And primarily about youth and old age. And as I was walking around, I mentioned to a few people as they said, oh, a few aches and pains and creaks and groans. I said, yeah, well, you're going to feel the message this morning. Because after we get done talking about youth, when we begin discussing old age, the way that Solomon describes what happens to the body as it degenerates is rather picturesque, almost funny, unless it's happening to you, right? So it'll be an interesting passage. Now, the theme that connects youth and old age together in this scripture is don't waste your life. When you're young, enjoy it, but don't waste it. And when you're old, don't sit in the recliner and twiddle your thumbs. You're valuable. Okay, there may be some who literally can't do anything because their bodies are so, you know, far gone that they're not able, but all of us have a part in the service of the Lord. So don't waste your life is going to be the theme this morning. Years ago, I had a conversation with a man who worked his entire life in a factory and then on the weekends was the pastor of a really small church. And he was probably about 90 years old, maybe a little bit older than that, when I met him. I met him because the town was honoring him. Everybody in the town knew him. He was a really outgoing, fun-loving guy. And super friendly. And so when he and I got some time together, just one-on-one, we began talking, and I thought he was going to be really excited, you know, because of the honor and the fact that the community was getting together. So I was surprised when, instead of being excited, he was actually discouraged. And his heart was full of regret. And so I continued to ask him questions and try to figure out, you know, what was happening. And he told me that even though he knew the gospel, he basically stopped preaching the gospel because it was offensive to the people in the town. So instead of preaching it, he basically lived the gospel in front of people, but went through life spending time almost every Saturday with the men working on, you know, their homes or projects or hunting or fishing or hiking. He said that when he did things with youth on Saturdays, like in the winter, they would go sledding and snowmobiling, and they had a lot of fun. He said we had a lot of fun in life. But as he looked back, his heart was full of regret. And he was wishing that he would have lived life differently. And that's what Solomon's words are going to encourage us to do or not do today, which is to live life for Christ. And the theme again is this: don't waste your life. So Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting in verse 7. Verses 7 through 10 and then chapter 12, verse 1 are about youth. And then chapter 12, verses 2 through 8 are about the aging process, or maybe more, having arrived at old age. And so we'll see the dichotomy as we read this passage, but note in your minds that we'll begin with youth, end with old age. And no matter how old a person is, at all times, they're encouraged to serve the Lord and live in light of the judgment of God. So, chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness, there'll be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So that's the youth part, now the aging part. So he says, do this. Remember your Creator before the evil days come. And now we transition into the aging. Do this before these things happen to you. Verse 2. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Don't waste your life. Young people especially, here at the beginning, don't waste your life. Listen to the words of the wisest man who has ever lived and live by them. When does the command to not waste your life apply? It applies at all times, regardless of one's age. Now first, in chapter 11, 7 through 12, 1, you are told to remember God in your youth. Do most teenagers live this way? Verse 7, light is sweet. Now light is a metaphor here, lots of metaphors in this text. Light is a metaphor here for a pleasant life. And then in verse 8, the days of darkness. Darkness is a metaphor for the unpleasant aspects of old age. So light and darkness in contrast. Light, the first six verses, darkness, the following ones. Light is sweet, OK? Okay, life is pleasant, especially when you're young. Now, that's a general rule. It may not be the case for all young people, but as a rule, for young people, their lives are sweet. They're healthy. They don't have the aches and pains, unless maybe after a football game, you get bopped real hard, or you fall off the bike or something like that. Maybe a few scratches or bruises or possibly a broken bone. But for the most part, life is pleasant. Do most teenagers live life at their age with these grand truths in mind? Enjoy your youth. Realize that old age is going to come upon you way faster than you think it will. It will be, talk to old people, right? Talk to your grandparents. Talk to somebody in the church. Not me, because I'm not old. But talk to somebody who's older, and fairly quickly, they're going to tell you, it just went like that. It was like the snap of a finger. I look back, I can't believe how fast it was over. Now I'm, and you fill in the blank, whatever age. Of course, there's nobody in here who's old unless they're over 100, right? Because that's old. That's the definition of old. We'll use the word older. But young people, do you live like this? Do you live with this kind of balance in your thinking? What kind of balance? Solomon says, rejoice in them all. In all your days, regardless of how old you are, rejoice in them. Meaning, live for God, and all of your days can be joyful. If you're living for God, your days can be joyful. In fact, if you're living for Him, they will be. But remember, here's the balance. Remember that the days of darkness will be many. Let the nearness of old age and ultimately of death always remind you of the brevity of life. How many times does the word vanity occur in this passage? It's quite a few. Why? Vanity, I think here in this context, it's talking about breath. Vanity can be, the same word can be translated breath. Life is but a breath. It's short. It doesn't last long. So even when you're young, live with that in mind. Be honest about death. Don't be preoccupied by it, but be honest about it so that you won't waste your life. Verse 9. Three sentences in verse 9. The first one, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. So parents and young people here, youth is meant for pleasure. It's meant to be enjoyed. Young people are able to play. They're free from responsibility. I know they feel like they have a lot of responsibility when they get home from school and have a half an hour of homework and then the rest of the day to do pretty much what they want. I know they feel like they have a lot of responsibility. They have rather a lot of free time. They're free from the heavy responsibilities that adults bear. From having to pay the mortgage and having to work all day and then come home and work in the evening to clean the house or cook the meal or, what have you. They're free from aches and pains. They have time to enjoy life with friends and family. And Solomon says, do that. Enjoy that. Don't miss the fun of youth. Enjoy time with people that you know. Enjoy the pleasures of youth, but enjoy them God's way. Look at the second sentence in verse 9. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. What does that mean, to walk in the ways of your heart? This is what I think it means. There are different interpretations of this. I think it's talking about you should follow your dreams. Follow your dreams. But even when you're following your dreams, balance it out with the thought that I'm serving God. So follow your dreams, but let them be guided by God. Don't look back. So I'm trying to look at you know, a lot of the young people here in the church, don't look back at the age of 65 with a heart full of regret. I've talked with plenty of people who are in the midst of midlife crisis. And even at 40, or up to about, what, 50, 55? I've never actually talked to a woman who's in midlife crisis, but I've talked with multiple men in midlife crisis, and it can be really rough. Why? Well, young men, what do you feel like you're going to be able to do with your life? You know, the older men in here were kind of looking back and thinking, okay, well, life was maybe good, maybe it was rough, maybe I have regrets, maybe it's been great, and I've served the Lord, you know, by grace as much as I could. But young people are looking at life and thinking they can conquer the world. They're going to, whew, man, look out. You know, just get out of my way and let me do it. Now, maybe not all young people are doing that, but a lot of them, that's exactly how they think. And older folks, that's how we thought too when we were that age. And that excitement and eagerness and drive, that needs to be balanced by godliness. But boy, when you hit midlife crisis, you look back and you didn't conquer hardly anything. The plans that you had didn't work out the way that you thought they would. But when you look back, will you look back with regret? Or if you've been serving the Lord faithfully and yet all the great plans didn't happen, but you've been serving the Lord faithfully, you'll look back and you'll enjoy the reminiscences that you have. Third sentence in verse 9. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, judgment there is not necessarily negative. So don't think of judgment as like hell, or don't think of it as like as something that is always bad. Judgment can be a good thing. This is a time when the one who rewards will examine your life. Think of it like that. So the judgment might end up very, very positive, or it may end up with some regret. But the dominant idea there in that final sentence is you're going to be answering to God someday, so don't waste your youth, don't waste your middle age, don't waste your the latter years of your life. Serve God the entire time. One day, you will stand before Christ and give an account. There will be a day. Young people, live life for Christ all the time. Live it now and all throughout your life. Why? Because one day you literally will stand before Christ and give an account. Young person, what does God want you to do that you are resisting? Do you feel like you are wasting your life because everything you do right now is for yourself? How could you be serving the Lord? What would He have you do? What does He, in bigger picture, what does He want you to do with your life? You say, man, I wish I knew. I wish God would just send me a text and tell me what it is that He wants for me to do. Keep searching. Keep thinking. Don't give up or give in. Don't forget the dreams, the life's calling that God is moving you toward. You say, but I don't see how I can get there. I don't know how. Keep working on it. Don't give up on those things. But what does He want you to do right now? In verse 10, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. I think this is saying that we should guard, young people, guard your soul and your body. Guard your soul and your body while you're young, because it won't be very long before you'll be an old geezer like me. Okay? So guard your heart and your body. Now, the body here is debatable. Is it talking about body or is it talking about heart? Look at the word in the ESV, it's the word pain. Put away pain from your body. That Hebrew word pain could also mean evil. So it, both parts of the sentence could be talking about evil ways, evil thoughts, evil deeds. But I don't think that's what it's talking about. Hebrew poetry has over 10 different ways that it rhymes or contrasts. And I think in this case, it's contrasting. So I think the ESV translators nailed it. Remove vexation from your heart. Don't try to live the Christian life and enjoy sin as well. Live for God. Serve Him. You won't regret it if you do. Especially as you get older, you'll be so thankful that you listened to Solomon's advice for you. Remove vexation from your heart. Remove those things that lead you to sin. And then the second half of that stick or that part of the poetry, and put away pain from your body. Again, it might be talking about evil, but I think it is talking about pain. Be careful what you're doing with your body. Don't be Evel Knievel, the man who broke every bone in his body, you know. Don't do crazy things. Be careful. Watch what you're doing physically. I really think that's what it's talking about here, especially as we get to chapter 12, verses 2 and following. You'll see, you know, what you do with your body now, the damage that you inflict upon it, you'll pay for later on. How many of us older folks injured ourselves doing something when we were younger that we now constantly have problems with? For me, you know, one thing that I definitely wish I could take back was a sledding accident. Going down these huge hills, I mean, they really were steep hills, and we had those plastic kind of like sleds, and you could, on your knees, you could direct your path. I was very good at it when I was 10, and one time I just didn't make the turn quite right. I would go down steep slope and then turn around this one pine tree before the fence. And this one time, I just didn't quite get my turn right, and my knees hit that fence. And I mean, I stopped instantly, and it snapped the vertebra in the back, you know, in my back, the bottom one. Every morning when I wake up, I feel that thing. Every day, I get on this rubber ball, this big exercise ball, and stretch that thing out. I lay on my back, I lay on my stomach, just to try to relieve the tension from, you know, the muscles and so forth, and the inflammation that builds up. I think Solomon is telling us here, vexation of heart is a more serious thing, but pain from your body as well. Guard your soul and guard your body, because you know what? You don't want to look back later in life with regrets. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Solomon is saying here to serve God enthusiastically while you are young and healthy. And then later in the verse he says, before the evil days come. Why? Because as you age, your ability to serve will decrease. Not necessarily in your thinking. Your thinking capacity may and probably will expand, especially as you have experience. But even with that, as you age further, your ability to remember and so forth will start to be affected. So, young people, serve the Lord enthusiastically now, because you will have less and less and less, as the years go by, ability to do what you used to be able to do. We're replacing, case in point, we're replacing the fence around the trash area out here. It's looking pretty shaggy, you know, pretty rough. And so Russ is leading it, and we've got, I think, at least two others who are helping. Steve's going to be doing some of the building, but you know what? They've got to break up a little bit of concrete and do a lot of little tear down. And Steve and Russ, well, at least they're not teenagers anymore. Let's say it that way. And so they recruited Noah to come and do the demolition for him. Why? Because you know what? Breaking up concrete isn't for somebody who's over, you know, we won't say any ages, but it's a lot of work. So Noah will be coming and doing that. Age, it affects our ability to serve. Now, serve God enthusiastically while you're young. Don't waste your life. Don't allow all of your time to be consumed in frivolity. Enjoy whatever you enjoy. Riding bike, going on a hike, playing a game. Enjoy those things, but a balance. Don't waste all of your free time. Don't waste your life. Remember God in your youth, and remember God now in verses 2 through 8 in your old age. So as I read through those verses, did you understand the metaphors and the meaning of each one of the lines? Probably not. It took me quite a few hours of meditation to pull out what each of these things were communicating. So let's go down through each of them and understand what Solomon is describing. So for us who are older, we're going to not just understand it, we're going to be feeling and experiencing these things, some of us a little more than others. In chapter 12, verse 2, Solomon, with his first description of old age, writes this, work hard, remember your Creator, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. He's talking about the dimming of eyesight. Each one of these, or most of these things in here, are going to be different body parts. Things that happen to our bodies as we age. So he's describing macular degeneration, or cataracts, or diabetic retinopathy, or glaucoma. Those are the four main causes of problems with sight, and then ultimately blindness. He's saying that eyes grow dim. Work for God, serve Him faithfully, because it won't be very long when your eyes are going to start failing you. You won't be able to see the sun and the light of the moon and the stars. They'll be darkened like as if there were clouds in the sky, even though there aren't. You won't be able to see them well. In fact, he says, and the clouds return after the rain. What does that mean? Well, after the rain, you expect the clouds to dissipate and there to be sunny skies. But you know what? If you have problems with your eyesight, the clouds never dissipate. Again, it's all metaphorical. The clouds never dissipate. You'll never be able to see like you used to. Now, in our day, doctors can do amazing things. They really can. And we have people who are sitting here today whose eyesight was basically either ruined or on the way, who are able to see today. Our doctors are light years ahead of where they were back in this day. And so, you know, for me, I have progressive lenses, okay? I can see everybody, but you are blurry. I can make out what time it is on the clock, but it's a little bit fuzzy, all right? And when I look down, it's just as bad. Now, I've got monovision, which means one eye is near-sighted and the other is far. So that helps me when I have my glasses off to, you know, each eye compensates, but then I get a headache right away because of the difference in vision. So I put my glasses on and you're all clear, okay? All the way from the back to the front, but I just, you know, I have to look at the right part of my lenses. Eyesight, aging. Chapter 12, verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. What does that mean? The keepers of the house tremble. Well, it's talking about the hands, what you use to keep the house as you get older. You know, they will begin to shake, to tremble. And, you know, I mean, right now, I mean, I can go and without trembling, you know, pick up my clock, which tells me how much time I have left. I can, you know, adjust this without a problem. But, you know, if I were maybe 30 years older, I might go to, you know, adjust this microphone and have trouble doing it. The keepers of the house, they shake. Bottom part of verse 3, and the strong men are bent. What does that mean, strong men are bent? Strong men, the body parts, the large muscles like legs and back, they weaken or tighten. And, you know, you've seen people. And sometimes it's osteoporosis, but not necessarily. You've seen, you know, older men who almost shuffle and walk. Why? Just the pain in their bodies, and then the constriction that takes place in their muscles, and the pain that they experience keeps them bent over when they stand and when they walk. Also in verse 3, and the grinders cease because they are few. Again, medicine and dentistry is light years ahead of where it used to be. No one in our society has to have this problem anymore. Okay, even if you were to lose all your teeth, you can get false teeth. You know, George Washington had wooden teeth. You know, I mean, they were already making advances in his day. You know, today we can have implants. Now, that wasn't around when I was young, but now they can actually screw a tooth, a human tooth, up into your jaw. It's amazing what they can do. But back in Solomon's day, as you got older, your teeth would get infected and they'd have to be pulled out, and soon you'd have very few of them left. And you know what? You can have all your top teeth and none of your bottom teeth, and you won't be able to chew. You have to have your teeth opposing. The grinders have to oppose in order to chew your food. But if you only have a few teeth left, and if none of them touch each other, top and bottom, you're going to be eating applesauce, right? Things that are pureed and so forth. That's not, you know, we can kind of laugh today because none of us have to worry about that now with dentistry as it is. But back in Solomon's day, that would have been a serious problem to not be able to chew. Also in verse 3, and those who look through the windows are dimmed. Those who, it's talking about both eyeballs. Okay. Again, and eyes are mentioned twice, ears are mentioned twice here as we go on. Eyes looking out the window can't see definition. The older you get, the harder it is, without glasses anyway, corrective vision, to see definition. And even color will lose its vibrancy and eventually not even be much there. So looking out the windows, the older you get, the harder that becomes, or really the less you see. In verse 4, and the doors on the street are shut when the grinding is low. Just like you close a door to shut out noise. Okay, so kids are, you know, playing in the room next to my study. I'm going to close my door to hopefully at least deaden some of the noise. So that sounds like a good thing. It is a good thing unless the doors being closed are permanent. That is, you can't hear very well. And so when the grinding is low, there's noise outside, but even when the doors open, you can't hear the noise in the street. Verse 4, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. It's talking about the cruelty of old age. The inability to sleep in and get the kind of rest you need. You wake up too early in the morning. You wake up when the birds are just starting to sing, but then it's like double cruelty because the birds are singing and you can see them out there, but you can't hear them. So the older folks in here, we empathize, sympathize, we're experiencing some or maybe all of these problems. For the young people who are here, understand life is vanity. That is, it's short, it's but a breath. This is going to be you so fast. It's going to be you tomorrow. Don't waste your life. You know, we can live for ourselves all our lives, and quickly age overwhelms us and catches up to us, and then we look back either at midlife or, you know, in our late 30s or 40s and start regretting, or we look back at 65 with deep regret, wishing, you know, that we wouldn't have wasted our lives. So listen, young people, to the wisdom of Solomon. These things are coming to eyes near you, a nose near you, you know, ears near you, legs near you, so forth. It'll happen very soon. Verse 5, they are afraid also of what is high and the terrors are in the way. That one is talking, this image is talking about old men losing their manliness and cowering in fear during old age. Rather than going into protect mode when there's danger, as someone who's younger would, there's the desire to just flee. Quick illustration. So I traveled in the summer of 1995 to the country of Poland with Dr. Ken Frederick. So Dr. Frederick was an older man who was a professor. He retired a few years later, but he was an older man who was a professor at the university where I was. And he, through the university, asked me to travel with him and preach and teach all across that country. So one summer, we got on a plane and flew over there, and I'd been newly married, so I was probably about 25 or 6. And, you know, we get over into that country, and remember that communism had just dropped in that country 6 years, actually less than 6 years before we went there. And there was still, you know, a fair amount of theft going on. It's a different story now. They're first world just like we are now. But back then it wasn't so much. I mean, it was still, you know, heavily communist, even though it was getting much better. And so he was very afraid. You know, he was like, man, we got to keep our money belts tight and everything, keep it all covered. And, you know, just he was always looking around. And he was actually bothered by my nonchalant attitude. Yeah, I mean, I'm 25. I'm like, bring it on. Guy wants to try to rob me? Come on, man. You know, we'll take you down. You know, that's, yeah, you know, it's okay. I'm sorry. But, you know, that's how a young person looks at things. Like, yeah, just try it. But then an older and wiser man, because what if it's not one guy but four, you know, against you trying to, you know, rob you in the alley or whatever? The wiser man, but also the man who is, because of aging, afraid, he looks at it and says, just get me out of here. I don't even want to be near it. So whether it's a fear of heights or whether it's a fear of hoodlums, there is with old age the losing of that. Could we call it the macho? The next part in verse 5, the almond tree blossoms. That one I could not figure out. I had no idea what in the world. How did that, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, is it because the trees just, you know, it went through a whole cycle and now it's blossomed? So is that what the image of age is? And that wasn't it. I had to look at a commentary for this one. I try to figure it out before I read the commentaries, right? This one I could not figure out. So what does that mean? Well, here's what it means. If I had almond trees in our yard, then I think I'd have figured it out. I didn't realize that almond blossoms are always white. And of course, the almond tree is taller than we are. So it's talking about a white top to the tree. In other words, as a man ages, his hair turns white. Or maybe it lets loose. So the almond tree blossoms. Also in verse 5, the grasshopper drags itself along. Have you ever seen a grasshopper that has one of its jumpers, one of its hind legs injured? I have. I have literally seen the grasshopper pulling itself along in the yard or maybe on concrete if a car or maybe a bicycle hit part of it. I've seen it dragging along. Why? Because its hip was no good anymore. It couldn't jump anymore. And how many of us have had either a knee replacement or a hip replacement? Why? Because the joints go bad. In Solomon's day, there were no replacements. You just couldn't walk anymore. The pain was too great. You were pretty much bedbound or chairbound when maybe even at the age of 55 or 60. You know, that age rolled around. Now, we can do so much. The hip joints, the knees, they go bad. Just like the grasshopper drags itself along. So we sometimes, until we get the replacement, are dragging ourselves along. Verse 5, D here, and desire fails. That's the desire to procreate. It fades away. Verse 5, E, because man is going to his eternal home. I don't think eternal is talking about heaven here. I think it's talking about the grave, not necessarily, in fact, it isn't talking about the place where the soul goes. It's talking about the place where the body goes, and it's simply a description of the body lying in the grave. After all these things come upon us eventually, the body will lie in the grave. The next part of the verse, and the mourners go about the streets, talking about a funeral procession. Verse 6a, before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken. Silver and gold are both valuable. But if the cord that holds something together is snapped, it's no longer valuable. If it's a golden bowl that maybe holds your fruit and your on the kitchen table in the center, but it is broken, now it can't hold the fruit. It's talking about something valuable that is now broken and has not the same value. That which is valuable, in other words, life, is broken or gone. It's a metaphor for death. Or, verse 6, the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. A cistern is a big container, massive. I've actually, in Jerusalem, I've eaten inside of an ancient cistern. They have restaurants in some of the ancient cisterns. Huge things sometimes. Okay, and so when someone from a city goes to the cistern to draw water, they go to what is essentially a stone well, and there will be a rope that goes over the top of a pulley that's suspended from wood that's over the top of the well or the cistern, and there'll be a bucket at the end of the rope. So that wheel, you know, it rolls as you let the rope down, or let the force the rope to go down so that the bucket can get into the water and then be pulled back up. But guess what? If the pitcher, that which is at the bottom, because sometimes they were made out of clay and not wood, if the pitcher that is at the end of the rope is broken, or if the wheel over the cistern is broken, you're not going to be able to get the water down below. You can't get to it. I mean, you could jump down in, but then you're going to die. I mean, I suppose somebody could lower a rope to you, but there's no exit except through the top, and that's going to be 20, 30 feet above your head. So if the pitcher is shattered or the wheel of the cistern is broken, you can't get water, and water obviously gives life. So the meaning here is that the body is broken. It is dead. In verse 7, and the dust returns to the earth as it was. Genesis 2 and Genesis 3 talk about the body being made of dust. What did God do when he made Adam? He came and Adam was not created out of nothing. Adam was made out of something. He was made out of dirt. So God took dirt and he formed it and fashioned it and remade it essentially into man, into Adam. And then he did mouth-to-nose resuscitation or suscitation. He breathed into that dirtbag's nose and gave him life. All right? So the dust returns to the earth as it was. We were made of dust. And when our bodies die, we will return to dust. Verse 7 also, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. Back in chapter 11, 10, 15, it talks about this. And then in Psalm 139, verse 14, fearfully and wonderfully am I made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. And it talks about how, in that passage, how the body and the soul are woven together by God in the womb. Now, we don't understand how it all works, but we are told that it is so. So when we die, the body eventually returns to dust as it was, and the Spirit returns to God who gave it. And then in verse 8, the conclusion. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. It's all vanity. I don't think the meaning here is worthless. I think the meaning here in this context is short. Life is brief. It's but a breath. It's but a vapor. You're like a flower, using the imagery in the book of James. You're like a flower that grows up in the spring and then wilts under the sun and is mowed down at the end of summer. You don't last very long. I mean, it's enjoyable, you know, to look at flowers. They're pretty, but boy, they don't last long. And neither will you. Young people, don't waste your life. Older folks, don't waste your life. You say, I can't do much, but you can do something. Serve God. Don't, young people, don't wait until you're 35 and you look back and say, why did I waste so much time? Don't wait till you're 50 in the middle of your crisis and think, man, I could have, all I needed to do was this, but I had a few obstacles and I didn't, you know, didn't overcome them. I didn't pray about it. I didn't work hard enough. I didn't go after it. And now I'm, you know, and you fill in the blank, whatever the problem. Or 65 and look back at a life and think, I blew it. Now look at what's happened. Look at what my sin and my life have wrought. How are you wasting your life? What could you do, or what should you do? What could you quit, or what should you quit? How would God want you to change your life? What could you start doing for the Lord now that would make a difference for God and in the lives of others? Years ago, I read a book that had as its title, Don't Waste Your Life. I've appropriated that title for the summation of this text. And I may have shared this illustration before, but it's so perfect, I wanted to share it again. In the book, Don't Waste Your Life, in the introduction, there's an illustration by the pastor of a church who has seen a couple retire from work and move from the north down to Florida. And they had some means, and so they bought a nice place right on the beach. And each day they basically spent their entire days just enjoying their retirement. He talks about in the illustration how he went to visit them, and they were so proud of their shell collection. They go out every morning and look for unique shells and ones that are perfect and so forth. And they have this massive and diverse shell collection, which is essentially worth nothing. I mean, maybe they can get a few bucks for it, but shells have no value. So they're spending, and there's nothing wrong with walking on the beach, is there? Absolutely not. But his point was that it's not just that they collect shells in the morning, their whole lives are spent on themselves, and that there's no mission left for them, and they're not serving. And he concludes the introduction to the book, Don't Waste Your Life. And then each chapter is about how we can waste our lives. Solomon, way before this book, said the same thing. Whether you're young or whether you're old, don't waste your life. Don't look back with regret. And if you're sitting here today, regardless of your age, and you're looking back, whether it's just 5 years of life or whether it's 50 years of life, and you're sitting with regret in your soul, don't conclude that life's over. You can still serve. God can still use you. Even if there are regrets of the past, don't just toss the towel in and say, well, the fight is over, because it's not. You can be used of the Lord with whatever amount of days you have left. So, folks, take this advice from Solomon. Whether you're young, middle-aged, old, be on a mission. Serve God. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't waste your life. Our Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to abide by the commands that we find in Scripture. And we're commanded as young people not to forget these things. And then as old people, we're reminded of how quickly our bodies degenerate. So whether we're young or whether we're old, may we serve you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength as you've requested. We pray in His name. Amen.